So we continue to draw from the Gospel of John, this Last Supper discourse, Jesus preparing the hearts of his disciples for his death upon the cross, but ultimately for his death, his resurrection, and his ascending to the Father, from where he will come in order to impart the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to his bride, the Church. The promised Advocate, my brothers and sisters, is the fulfillment of Jesus' mission. It is the last and greatest gift as he sends his Church forth to proclaim forgiveness of sins in his name, empowering the Church with the gift of the Holy Spirit. We see the Holy Spirit in the first reading today as this great turmoil happens in the early church, in the early group of believers. You know, we don't see it as such, some simple question about circumcision or no circumcision. But my brothers and sisters, this is a pressing issue for the Gentiles who are coming to faith, and a proper understanding of how it is that they have come to faith, that it is not by exterior actions like circumcision, but it is by the gift of the Holy Spirit that has been poured out upon the Gentiles by faith in Jesus Christ. This is a huge controversy in the early church. How much of the Mosaic law should those who are of Gentile origin have to practice in order to be faithful believers of Jesus Christ? And so the conclusion is made in the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us, the letter writes. The presence of the Holy Spirit in the church, leading and guiding the church in all truth. So often, we can speak about knowing God the Father and God the Son, but so little is often spoken about the Holy Spirit. And yet the Holy Spirit is essential for the church to be church. The presence of God, the anointing of God, the Consoler, the presence of God dwelling within the church of the body of Christ, the church, and leading and guiding in power and in strength. I thought I'd do a little show and tell today. I've kind of gotten into the habit with the little kids at school, so I thought of another example. You know, it's helpful for them, so I figured it'd be helpful for you too. So what do we have here? Okay? They didn't take it out of the tabernacle. So it's just a piece of bread, right? You need to nod your head up and down, yes, okay? Because if you think that I took this out of the tabernacle, we're going to stop right now, okay? So, I just took it out of a plastic bag. Kavanaugh Altar Bread Company. It's got a paper clip holding the top of it shut. Keep it in a tin, you know, a little bread box in the sacristy. It is a piece of bread. Nothing more. My brothers and sisters, is this bread sufficient to satisfy your hunger? You ever sit down for a meal and be served something this size? Is it sufficient? No. It is completely insufficient to satisfy your hunger. Right? Is this piece of bread powerful? Watch out. I'm going to chuck this piece of bread at you. You know, duck. It is absolutely powerless. And I just took it from the bag with the other 500 hosts in it. It is completely alone. It might be made of the same material as the others, but it is separated and it is alone. So this simple piece of bread, is powerless, insufficient, and alone. This piece of bread represents you and me. My brothers and sisters, apart from the Holy Spirit, this bread is a perfect example of you and me. Now, are you ready for the good news? When this simple piece of bread is placed upon the altar and the Holy Spirit is called down upon it so that it can be radically changed and transformed, and it no longer is simply a piece of bread, but the body and blood, the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, would I say to you that it is now incredibly sufficient to satisfy your hunger? Not because all of a sudden it has grown large, but because of what it has become. By the power of the Holy Spirit, it is now sufficient to meet my hunger. Remember, a few weeks ago I told you it's not the size of the gift, but the quality of the gift. When we call down the Holy Spirit upon this bread, and it goes from being powerless to filled with the Holy Spirit and transformed and changed, it becomes powerful. The presence of God Himself in our midst. And when we call the Holy Spirit down upon this bread, and it is changed into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, it is no longer alone, but it is simply a part of a greater body of Christ. A part of the body of Christ that can never be cut away and separated and divided from the whole, but one, for it is one Christ. My brothers and sisters, we believe that about the Eucharist that we celebrate. How come we don't understand what it means when the Holy Spirit comes upon us as church? If the bread is a perfect example of who we are, separate from Jesus, then the bread transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit is also a perfect example of who we become, of what we become when the Holy Spirit comes upon the church. We are not alone in Jesus Christ. We are no longer insufficient, and we are no longer powerless in Him. The gift of the Holy Spirit transforms all of that and changes it, my brothers and sisters. We see the transforming effect that this has in the second reading from the book of Revelation. They say Revelation, this mysterious last book, right? John has the vision of seeing the New Jerusalem descending from the heavens out of the sky to earth. Who is the New Jerusalem? You say, well, who? It should be what is, right? It is a who, my brothers and sisters. It is the church triumphant. It is the bride of Christ, knit together, woven and formed as a living tabernacle. John describes bricks and mortar being impregnated with light, that they would radiate with incredible beauty like a gemstone. That there would no need be in the city for lamps or lights because the presence of God is so filling the city that the entire city is alight with the Lamb. Imagine your whole house, no light switches, you walk in, the whole house is light. You'd have to get one of those little masks to wear to go to bed. No light switches. Everything is impregnated with the light. This speaks to us, my brothers and sisters, of what it is supposed to be like for those who receive the Holy Spirit, who are living in this transforming effect of what we become. John's vision is of the bride of Christ, of you and I, filled with the Holy Spirit in the fulfillment of our destiny. Another radical thing about this city coming from the sky: there's no temple, no church.
Well, where do we go on Sunday?
Guess what? The whole entire city is the temple. You live in the presence of God.
You say, well, that'll be a little hard.
Or don't you think it will actually be the greatest fulfillment of all of your longing?
I know it's hard to get here to the church on Sunday or Saturday night, but
what that reveals, my brothers and sisters, is that there is no part of your life that is to be separated from God. We think incorrectly as church if we believe that we come into this building, we spend our time with God, and then we leave, and we come back a week later. We think incorrectly. Because God dwells within us in the gift of the Holy Spirit. You take God with you to your homes. And for some, this might be a difficulty, because you say, well, I got all these bad movies at home. And back home, that's where this happens and that happens, and where cussing and swearing happens, and all of the difficulties of life happen. Trust me, as a priest, when I walk into a bar, I never get apologized to so much in my life as when I walk into a bar. Oh, sorry, Father. Oh, sorry, Father. I'm like, for crying out loud, everybody else has got ears too. Apologize to them as well. Just because I walk in here, don't you know that all of these people are baptized? Don't you know that the living presence of God is in this place? And you're apologizing to me because you've got a vulgar mouth? The fulfillment, my brothers and sisters, of our relationship with God is not one that we only adhere to when we decide to pray or when we walk into this building. The fulfillment of the destiny of what it means to be the body of Christ is that God dwells within His bride, the church. And that is every moment of every day. I remind you that when Jesus is teaching His disciples how to pray, and He says, you know, what man among you would offer your son or daughter a stone when they ask for bread, or a snake when they ask for a fish? And if you, wicked as you are, know how to give good things to your children when they ask you of them, how much more will my Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to you? You're like, wait a minute, I was asking for bread. I was asking for fish. What are you talking about, Jesus, the Father giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit? It is the ultimate gift. It is the greatest thing that the Father can pour into hearts and to give to us. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, there is nothing lacking in this gift. We often turn to prayer and say, Lord, if I just had this, if I just had that, if I just had this. So often we're saying, if I just had this gift or this ability or this thing, then I could change my life around and my life would be great. My brothers and sisters, there is nothing lacking in the Holy Spirit. Could you imagine standing face to face with God and saying, well, thank you for this, but, you know, if I just had that. You know, if I was God, I would take us and shake us and smack us across the face and go, do you understand? I just gave myself to you. What more do you need? What other excuse can you come up with for not being faithful, for not living in my love? I have poured my very self within you. There is nothing more that I can give to you. You lack nothing. My brothers and sisters, you lack nothing in Jesus Christ. And if we don't see ourselves operating in that, it is because we don't believe that. We don't believe it to be true. We're not expecting it. We're not demanding it. We're not acting and living in that reality. But it is the truth. There is nothing lacking in the gift that God has poured upon His bride, the church, into you and to me. And this is what we're excited about. And this is what I'm excited about today. To speak this truth to you, to encourage you, not only just to hear it, but allow the words to enter your heart and to recognize what has been given to us as a church. The Holy Spirit of God, through whom all of the sacraments have their efficacy. All of the sacraments call upon the Holy Spirit to bring about what it is that we desire in them. The Holy Spirit leads the church. The Holy Spirit helps us to read a scripture because it is the same Holy Spirit who inspired the scriptures to begin with, to understand the mind of God. It is the same Holy Spirit that is poured into the church to bring about miracles and healings and power and wisdom and knowledge and understanding. You didn't know you had it all. Now you do. And in a couple weeks, we will celebrate that event of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus' bride of the church, upon you and me. And so today is a great reminder for us, a great reminder to prepare our hearts to say, Lord, when Pentecost comes, renew me in the Spirit. What do you think we pray, the prayer, the Veni Creator Spiritus, every Mass for the last, since the beginning of Lent? Father, it's a nice prayer. Why are we praying it? Because I want us to remember and understand who it is we've received, and to come to know and have an intimate relationship with the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Spirit dwelling within us, the church. Because if we forget this, if we don't know this, we will not walk in our destiny in Jesus Christ. We will be sitting around waiting for Him to save us when He has poured a salvation within us and given us the means to bring salvation to others. So it's good news, my brothers and sisters. You got weeks to prepare, weeks to renew, weeks to think about and contemplate and to ask God to stir up within you this great gift. This is the good news, my brothers and sisters, and it is for you and for me unto eternal life. Amen.